All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 56 today, and damn, I mean, that's really the first thing you can say, right? So, this is, we're talking to you right after the Big Ten tournament has just concluded about 20, 30 minutes ago. Gable Steveson versus Mason Pearson finals. We thought it was going to be a close one after we saw Paris versus Kirk Thiep. Last year, it was 8-6. Gable won. 3 takedowns to 1. This year, you know, like, dude, I'm still in shock. Like, I'll be completely honest with you guys. Like, I still have chills from watching that match right now. Gable beat Mason Pearson 12-4.
Yeah.
I think the best comparison I can make of Gable Steveson is he's a heavyweight Jason Nolf.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Short offense. He's great at finishing his attacks. I think the sequence that really gave me, you know, obviously Gable was talking a lot. Pears did a lot of talking, I've heard. But I don't want to get into that just yet. The sequence where Gable took a shot, Pears actually defending, see Gable getting back in a reshot. I've never seen that from Gable Steveson before. It's always just reset. If he doesn't finish on the first attempt, he's done. Growth you've seen in this man's offense. And he essentially shut down Mason Pearson, which I didn't think was possible. You know, this also brings up questions. Where does Gwizdowski stand?
Yeah, 125.
But that's not something for today. Obviously, I think Gwizdowski still has the possibility. But, you know, you obviously can't compare the senior level to the college level. I'll say that many times. And that's going to stand true for everything. Going back to this, some things I just wanted to talk about before we actually hop into this is in eighth place, we have Luke Lufkin from Illinois, you know, the 4 seed. I've said it, Lance, Luffman, Hilger, and Orndorff can all go either way. They essentially did at this point, right? He wrestled Hilger in the 7th-8th match after Hilger fell to Kirkley at 6-3. Hilger went low single right away, got a scramble, caught a Turk, and stuck Luffman in a little bit over a minute and a half. That's really what it was. You know, Hilger, I think there's 7 bids as far as I've heard, right? Out of heavyweight?
Yes, 8.
8. That's okay, so, you know, I think, obviously, Tate Orndorff was the 8th seed. To see Tate Orndorff not make nationals, yeah, that would just be insane, right? So, Loveman does get a bid. Looking at some guys who didn't qualify for nationals who may get in that large bid, right? You have the 14 seed Garrett Kappas from Maryland, 13 seed Rudy Streck from Indiana, 12 seed Dorian Keyes from Purdue, 11 seed Jack. Who's the 12 seed, actually?
I forget.
Indiana, Purdue, Michigan State, Christian Repetaro is the 9 seed. I'm definitely missing somebody. I'm sorry if that's you, but, you know, right, those guys, you know, I think the one guy who may get at large bid that I think kind of should is Christian Repetaro from Michigan State. Yeah. Call it Kirk Thiep, first round of the Razorbacks isn't exactly the greatest pull, you know, that kind of sucks. You know, most times he would have met him further back in the Razorbacks, but it is what it is. He fell 16-5. You know, for a guy like Kirk Thiep, you know, you're going to see bigger separation scores, not too many close matches because just so many guys have high-flying offenses. But the guys who I think are going to be a real threat to take those All-American spots are going to be the guys with solid defenses, right?
Yes. And
who comes to mind first when you hear solid defense? Trent Hilger and Matt Stenzel.
Yeah.
Those two guys. But going back to the Big Ten, so 7th place you have Trent Hilger. 8th place you have Luke Luffman. We went over that. 5th and 6th was Christian Lance from Nebraska and Tate Orndorff. Lance did get the better of Orndorff this time. It was a toss-up, as I've said before. You know, I don't really see anything crazy there. It could go either way in nationals. I see the same thing, you know. Luffman, people are coming at him. He got caught in a bad position. That's all it really is. You know, you guess if guys, because they have 1 or 2 great wins, but, you know, it happens to everybody. He's young, and he's going to be back next year. He's going to be better next year. So, can't wait to see how that turns out for him, you know. And Hilger has been through a rough patch, but, you know, secures a bid. That's all that matters. And if he shows up next week, he shows up. He's an All-American for a reason. Going through our 3rd, 4th matches, we have Tony Cacioppo actually defeated Greg Kerfoot in that match. You know, I wasn't expecting that. You know, I thought I thought it'd be a little bit closer after watching Paris versus Kirk. You know, not for the exact reason you might think, but Paris handled him on top. That's really all it was. You know, it would be a lot closer of a match if he can get out from bottom again. That's why I made this freestyle maybe different. Kirk seemed to be able to get to Paris's legs. It just wasn't finishing. But, no, that being said, Paris probably wins this match again if it goes down nationals. But Kirk Flair probably will end up on Gable's side of the bracket, just based on what I've seen, how seeding may work there. Unless Colton Schultz and Sensor give, like, huge high bid, high seeds for some reason. Kirk Flair lost 10-0. Cassio bid one takedown. Nothing really crazy there. You know, he just kind of rode him. And Cassiope is the best top writer. Cassiope and Matt Stenzel are the two best top writers out there. Mm-hmm. But that's all really it is. You know, Cassiope does it better than Gable, does it better than Paris.
Yeah.
That's all it is. He's a big body and he does it very well, you know. But well, welcome to our finals match. Gable utterly disrespected Mason Paris.
Yeah.
But again.
Fuck.
Let's run back to Twitter. Gable posts a picture with the, you know, the semicolon parentheses winky face of him getting his hand raised over Mason Paris at Big Ten's last year. After the RTC Cup where Gable shows up to wrestle Gwizdowski, essentially saying he didn't view Paris as a threat.
Yeah.
You know, subliminal messages. Paris ended up defeating Gwizdowski in, I think, the last match. Second to last match of that day.
Yeah. They went 1-1 in that, I think.
Yep. 10-7. You know, last minute, iced it with the leg lace. No, obviously, I'll be honest. Gwizdowski didn't wrestle the greatest tournament that day. It just looked off. You know, he didn't wrestle great against Gable either. No, Gable seemed to controllably win that match. And, you know, I don't think there's anybody in the world that should be able to do that to Nick Gwizdowski. 4 takedowns in under like 30 seconds. That was something different. But looking at this, you know, after that, Paris retweets that saying, "You can't run forever. See you soon." That did not age very well, to say the least, you know?
It aged like milk.
Yeah, man. Dude, oh my God. Like, I feel bad. The dude's going to get so much shit now, like, on Twitter. Like, hopefully he does let this get to him, because I don't hate the guy. Like, I don't dislike him, but.
Yeah. He's still an elite wrestler. It's just that Gable is just establishing himself as, like, he's that next level, dude.
Like, essentially, Paris did that to himself.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm a wrestling page. I'm going to post the tweet. Like, obviously, I just have to, you know? Makes for good content. You know, I posted against Gable all the time when he lost to Kazar. I was hyping it up. You know, as I think all of us were. You know, Kazar is a Jersey guy. I'm from Jersey. I love Anthony Kazar. But, Paris essentially walked himself into that one. And about 15 minutes ago, Gable retweeted that.
Okay, I'm just still, like, freaking out. Because, like, Gable just... Mason Paris is this elite caliber guy who in any other year could win a national title more than likely. But just this year, Gable has just been, I mean, you said earlier, like, he's like the heavyweight Jason Nolf. I mean, I think what's even missed by that is that there's people who gave Jason Nolf a match. No one's given Gable a match.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think
Gwiz did the best job, you know, obviously. Gwizdowski's not a guy you're going to taunt like that. Gwizdowski's probably one of the smartest heavyweight out there. That's what that is. You have to play that match a little bit differently. Gable has not been active on Instagram. Check that. But, yeah, he has not been active.
Yeah.
I'm just looking through this.
Focusing.
If I posted the tweet, my caption was, "If you want to talk the talk, you better be able to walk the walk." No, thank you for Bashmania. You know, another great podcast you guys should check out. Yeah, that's where I actually saw this. I didn't even know you retweeted it. And on the first one, you know, obviously I have the picture right here. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, that is probably as clear as I can get that for you guys. That's just the tweets Mason Paris and Gable sent out before. And my caption was, I'll take things that didn't age well for $200.
And yeah.
Gable was taunting him mid-match. Did, like, I really hope the man does not go to WWE. You know, before
he's too good.
Ned, you know, if that's what he wants to do, those are his childhood dreams. 100% go for it. But if there's any inkling of doubt that you might regret it, stay. And I think this is the best said in the Jordan Burroughs podcast with Joe Rogan, right? I rewatched that, a little bit of it, the clips yesterday night. He said, we've been doing this for nothing for so long. Now it's just all about pride. Yeah, that's – he wants to go to WWE. He's an actor. He's an entertainer. That's been said. And he wants to make bank, you know. He can make a lot. But yep. Personal brand. Like, if Gable launches merch, I think he can do it next year. Because that's when the NCAA are changing the rules. Like, tell me who wouldn't buy that. Gable is the most popular college wrestler out there.
Dude, I'm buying that shit immediately.
He has almost – but now it comes to the conversation is – before, I've said that, like, Taha Gul, Gino Petrushvili would whoop his ass. Now, like, I don't know if they would. Like, now they're putting that doubt on my head. Like, could Gable win an Olympic title? No, I want to stick with my gut. I want to say Taha takes it over Gino in the finals, and Gable takes a bronze, takes one of the bronzes. But, like, I'm going to – like, people – I guarantee people are going to come at me for picking Taha Gul or Gable Stevenson.
I can't think.
It's just nobody knows who they are in the U.S.
I just can't think of a way to beat Gable at this point.
Yeah.
I just figured that, like.
Like, this might be a little.
My thought process was that Kirk Viet stylistically presented the toughest matchup, and I said again that Mason Paris's attack rate was going to hurt him against Kirk. I was wrong on that.
I think.
For sure.
I think Kirk Viet versus Gable is not a tech. Unless Gable turns him on top.
Yeah.
If Gable turns him on top, it's a tech. Take it all day long. Cassiope didn't really impress me against Kirk. He just rode him out.
Yeah, imagine like a week later, you have this taken like a week later, like Gable just pins Kirk. Like,
you know, maybe he does. Like, I would not be surprised. I think he matches up well. I think if Kirk does not get turned or give up back points, he can beat Paris. If he doesn't get ridden, he can beat Paris. If he doesn't take bad shots, he can beat him. But that's all saying, like, we said this before, something I really want to talk about is looking at a lot of things. Like, I don't think we've had a freshman heavyweight national champion. Like, look at the past guys. You know, running back to Zach Ray. I don't even think he did an All-American as a freshman. National champ, Pete Brian Flores of American, fell to Tony Nelson. 3-1, I think, was in the 2011 national finals, right? 2012 national finals. 2013, Tony Nelson beats Mike Mullen. Where was – and then who beats Tony Nelson? Nick Gwizdowski, right? Where was Nick Gwizdowski as a freshman? He's an All-American. He was a random freshman from Binghamton. No offense to them, but where's Binghamton? Like, who are they?
Yeah.
He's arguably the most dominant college heavyweight out there. Was the most dominant college heavyweight. His reputation gets kind of tarnished because – he had an 88-match win streak, right?
Yeah.
And then one loss, his entire legacy is just thrown out the window by people. That's just insane to me.
Yes.
Where was Kyle Snyder, the three-timer, arguably the most accomplished heavyweight wrestler ever, you know, of Carlton Hasselrig, six-time national champ? But I don't really know how to do that. Speaking of that, you know, I'm going to plug my guy, Brandon Reed, just became a three-time NAIA champion. Congratulations for Lindsey Wilson College. You know, a guy probably the best non-D1 heavyweight out there. Three-time national champ. I think he might be going for four next year. You know, All-American as a freshman, placed eighth. Won the next 2 years. He's, again, one of the hardest-working dudes I've ever seen. And I've never even met him in person. But I wanted to say that, give you NAIA guys a shout-out. You know, you guys get no love out there. But I'm getting back into this, you know. Kyle Snyder's three-timer. Where was he as a freshman? He got
in the national finals.
He was in the national finals, but did he win? You know, if he was in the national finals against Gwizdowski that year, if he was a heavyweight that year, he would have not made the finals.
No.
And I would say that confidently. Kuhn, McMullen, and Gwizdowski were all better than him at that point. Yeah. Kyle Snyder had an extreme glow up after the first year. He wins three straight. You know, obviously, it was a tale of two men, right?
Yeah.
It was Adam Kuhn and Kyle Snyder. You know, Kuhn just kind of didn't get it done when he had to.
Yeah.
Now you look at Gable Stevenson. Where was he as a freshman? Placing third. And arguably one of the weakest heavyweight classes ever. And I hate saying that, but he was probably one of the weakest ever.
Yeah. Like probably.
Tony Nelson, I would take over Anthony Kassar, Nick Gwizdowski over Anthony Kassar, and Don Bradley, I think the top three veterans on the heavyweight scene. Yeah. Where was Mason Paris that year? Did not place. He was a 5 seed. Sam Stoll's a 28 seed. Sam Stoll beat him. Got to the blood rounds. Matt Stenzel pinned him first period.
Yeah.
No, older guys prevail at this weight class. And that's, you know, I was wrong about the picks. Like, I'll straight up say that, right? I do think if Kirk can still get it done. I don't think there's – you can rule that completely out. The chances are slim to none, though.
Yeah.
No, Paris can still get it done. The chances are slim to none, though. I kind of want to see how Stenzel matches up against Mason Paris now. They're 2-2 career. The two wins Stenzel had were both pins. The two wins Mason Paris had were both 3-point shutouts, I think. You know, you have Jordan Wood. Is he All-American? You have Colton Schultz. Is he All-American, you know? And it's just so many variables pop into this because you have three high-tier guys coming in.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gannon Gremmel, what does he do? I don't think he All-Americans, but could he? Right, people are only looking at Gable versus Paris, the rematch, which is kind of looks like it's gonna go down right now, right? But yep. There's six more spots on the podium people won't talk about. But let's get into the main topic of discussion for today: Gable
for Hodge
for the Hodge Trophy. He should take it. You know, before I say there's a chance, I think he is my pick for the Hodge Trophy. I'm not being biased just because I'm a heavyweight. I run a heavyweight page. I think he should win the Hodge. He's not been taken down this entire season.
Yeah, and the last time that we had this discussion, I was very hard on saying that Lee meets the criteria better. But, I mean, goddamn, man.
Lee got taken down.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's the fact that that's, like, even a that's big deal says here. Something about how
Gable Stevenson still has a 100% bonus rate.
Yes.
And I think we all have to acknowledge that. That's more impressive at heavyweight than it is at 125, especially regarding who's in the field.
Yeah.
Chances are that if Glory and Vito are there, Lee doesn't tech. Considering he went to third period with Ragusan, right? And Ragusan, I think, took him down too, right?
He got like a big throw, yeah.
Yeah. Takedown, you know?
Yeah.
But, dude, I think one match I really want to talk about is Ridge Lovett. He went toe-to-toe with Sami Sasso. I'll give him that. You know, I was impressed.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like that was like no one was expecting that.
Yeah. You know, props to him. Nebraska had a hell of a day, even though some of their guys fell. You know, Mikey Labriola, I would not count him out winning the national title. Neither would Taylor Venz. Taylor Venz is Aaron Brooks' only career loss. You know, Eric Schultz, tough draw with Miles Amin. I was wrong. Miles Amin, he's good. He looks good in 97. You know, Beard kind of got, you know, betrayed by the mat in that match. You know, he slipped. But, again, you know, he's a freshman. He has a bit to nationals. Anything can happen. You know? Championship season, we've seen some big upsets. Caldwell over Metcalf. Yeah. That's all I need to say.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen. Jay Nyman versus Nickley. You were right. Ironman won off of riding time, you know. Great match both ways.
Sudden victory.
Ironman, no, it was riding time, 6-5. Yep.
Oh, no, yeah, because I was thinking of Nickley and Rivera.
You know, Lee didn't get off the bottom. That's what it is. You know, you always want to say that, oh, Ironman stalled, but no excuse at the end of the day. You got to get off the bottom without giving up riding time, and he wins that match. Again, easier said than done. He hung on to Ironman's legs, and he didn't finish quick enough. Ironman got a takedown. If that didn't happen, he wins. Simple as that. Great match by Ironman. He did what he needed to do to win, but – again, shouldn't have been – he shouldn't have had to stall for the 45 seconds right there. 125, yeah. Lee Tecfall pretty easily. 33.
Shocker.
How's that shocker? Oh, Spencer Lee. I was like, hold up. I was talking about 33. I was like, Roman Brav, Young, Beast, Austin DeSanto, 6'2", I think.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything crazy. I think RB-wise, again, DeSanto's weakness is insanely fast, dude.
Yeah.
You know, RBY wasn't that good as a freshman compared to how he is now. You know, that being like, you know, the basis of that is he didn't wrestle in a good, really, really good area. He wrestled in Sunnyside, Arizona.
I mean, but that's a good school.
It's a good school, but is it too great of competition? You know?
Not particularly.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. You know, obviously he was a hell of a wrestler. He was coming into college, but
yeah,
bringing them out of there into the Penn State wrestling room, that's night and day.
Yeah.
Same thing for Anthony Etchemendy coming out of the same school, right?
Yeah.
And now he's in Ohio State. Ohio State's a great practice. Having Sammy Sasso and Anthony Etchemendy practice together, that's insane, dude. Like,
Ohio recruits sleep on Sasso.
People sleep on Sasso. And people were talking so much shit to Orndorff. I'm glad the dude placed sixth. I'm glad he beat Luffman. Like, I truly am. Like, I like Luffman too, but like, the man was getting so much shit that like it literally pissed me off. Cause like I don't need people talking shit about the Maryland guy when Cassiope pins up. You know, cool move by Cassiope. Like, the dude is a walk on as a freshman. You're out here just talking shit to him. Like, if Cassiope got me in a body lock, I'm stuck. Yeah. It looks like you're not fighting off your back, but like you're literally having your life squeezed out of you. And like you know when your face like tenses up like with veins and you can't breathe? Like, that's literally what this shit feels like. And like, it really does suck because like I don't try to shit on people, but like I hate shitting on guys that like aren't that good because everybody just talks shit to them. You know, they bust their ass off every day.
People forget, like, people, like, I just don't believe in like shit talking Division I wrestlers in general, because like literally all of them could kick my ass. So, still at the Division I level, man. That's it just makes the top dogs look even better because they're that good. And I mean, it's kind of nonsense to also discredit someone after a win, because all that does is like, you know, like if I shit talk like some dude who lost, that just the guy who won, it's like, oh, well, you didn't really win a legit match. That dude sucked, but that's not the case even slightly.
Yeah, 100% I agree. I'm just talking about Gable's still not on Instagram. these group chats are going crazy right now. I'm going to have to tend to that soon. But Gable for Hodge, man. I will stand on that pick now.
Yeah.
Parrish is the second best guy. Proven it. Parrish won the gauntlet. Like, credit to him. Point, like, I did not think he could beat Kirkley. He did it pretty handily. You know, even if we take
at
away.
At this point, it just looks like Gable just walks through nationals completely.
Yeah, I want to say that Paris is going to be closer to Gable, but like, I don't know.
Because what nationals is
it looked
in
like
two
so many
weeks?
Positions. It looked like, yeah, or next week or 2 weeks, one of those two. But like, it looked like there's positions that Gable could have scored on that he just didn't fully commit to. And if he commits to those, you know, Gable's gas tank is his limiting factor. He knows Paris has not caught up. I think there's a little bit of like tentative like feels with him coming into that match. He wanted to feel out Paris, because you never know. Yeah. Paris is 10 times stronger than he looks, right?
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's saying something, because Paris is also looks ridiculously strong.
It was overall, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I stand on what I said with Gable over Kyle Snyder. Like, I 100% stand on that.
I can see it.
But I also
someone called me like nuts though, because like I think someone said that like Gable's faster, which I just straight up do not believe.
Yes. Kyle Snyder can wrestle fluently in better positioning. If that's something. Gable, if you get to his legs and then guys has you stuffed and sprawled and you put in like a scramble position, Gable's not getting out of that. Gable's probably gonna give it the team and show. Or stalemate it. Snyder wrestles quick and fluently. Snyder just has quick offense.
Yeah.
People just say, oh, Snyder weighed less, so he's faster. That's just completely false, right? Jaden Cox is one of the fastest athletes out there.
I don't think it's because he weighs less. I think it's because
that's literally the argument I heard.
Gable's Gable's got good low ankle, but, like, it's in the sense of, like, he'll go to the head and then go to the ankle. Kyle Snyder will just, like, just shoot a standard, you know, single, and he does it with, like...
Yeah, because he also...
I mean, it's, you know, it's blatant, you miss it shit. Yeah.
Snyder was not that strong compared to the guys he was doing that. He needed to do that on...
Yeah.
You know, obviously he's going to be stronger than guys like, you know, I don't want to come off as, like, you know what I meant, right? Like, against Wisdowski, Kuhn. He was not stronger than them, let's be honest. Gable's stronger than Paris, at least from what we've seen. You know, there's two ways
I think he's just more technical.
He looked stronger that match. But let's just say, not by much, but let's say this, right? There's two ways in my head to get to a shot better. One is get to the leg faster. Is one, and then two is bring that leg to you.
There's also getting him so sorely out of position that
that's what leg. I mean, bringing the leg where you can get to it easier. Because you can either, when you have a collar and the shoulder pocket, whatever you call it, over tie kind of, you know, when I do that, my main shot is I want to rip that back because I'm not the fastest guy, right? And I want to bring the leg to me so I can get to it. Because I like to hit a knee on my shots when I do go for them. I hate the whole high single thing because that just makes it so easy to defend. You know, grab an overhook, jack that up, and you're done. You know, if you're at least good with upper body positioning, which I think I'm fairly decent at. Or if you're quick enough, you want to just pull that, and you want to beat the leg, right? I mean, that was
as
just
as someone who personally process. Does a lot of, like, I do a lot of, like, duck unders from that position to get to the leg. It becomes more and more, especially at the Division I level, like where people are really technical. And I mean, I was talking with Coach Jay LaValle on it the other day.
Yep.
Nowadays, wrestling is going to become more and more about attacking the trail leg just because guys are so good at keeping their hips away and legs. So it's going to be about attacking the trail because guys defend their lead leg so effectively. I mean, even Penn State guys talk about it. Kale Sanderson teaches them match your opponent's lead hand so that way he – because it doesn't become about match your opponent's lead leg because you can't just assume what leg he's going to be shooting. It has to be a shooting hand.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree with that. And the thing about Gable is he can go cross ankle pick fairly well too.
Yeah, that's the X factor that makes him so difficult at heavyweight.
He can attack.
It's his willingness to shoot across.
Yep. And he can attack all – he can attack like three quadrants of the body. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's on your right, he can attack top right, and bottom left. You know, once if he somehow can develop, like, I don't know how you would. I think Dom Bradley does as well attacking, like, top corner. You know, I'd say it was. You know, you get what I'm saying?
How would you even attack the top corner?
So if you're here, you're there, right? Dom Bradley, I saw him do once. He had an arm drag. The guy defended. He immediately went to that side, underhook, throw by, and boom, four.
Misdirect arm drag to an underhook?
Oh. Yep. But he's, again, a guy who's just so slick with stuff because, you know, veterans, you know, that's what I'm
Gable's
saying.
Gable's got a pretty good underhook now that I'm
– yeah, but Gable likes to go same side.
Yeah.
Gable just doesn't like to shoot across. That's the thing because Dom Bradley's a tank. You know, nobody's denying that. He's strong, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that being said, you know, is there any reason Gable shouldn't win Hodge? You know, obviously you want to say Lee's dominance, but, like
– the only reason that – Gable wouldn't win the Hodge is if Spencer texts his way through nationals because that on the hard criteria would be higher than Gable. Now,
what if Gable pins his way through nationals?
There's that.
Because, you know, you have to assume Gable's nationals, Gable can pin in the round of 32. Round of 16, I don't know who he pulls.
If Gable pins his way through nationals, listen, if someone ever pins their way through nationals, if they don't win the Hodge trophy, that's horseshit.
Yeah. You know, I can agree with Cole Hodge, but I think Gable has proven himself to be better than Spencer Lee. I don't want to say it, but Spencer Lee was – he's good. He's miles above the field, but he was overhyped for what he did. Those four first period pins. Because that's something he probably would have done the year before too.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You put Gable against that caliber of competition. If he wants to, he can pin them, right? He just doesn't. He's a scorer, not a pinner. I've seen Cassiope pin guys who Gable comes out there and just hacks.
Yeah.
No, that just becomes it. Because I remember talking to him, he said, teching somebody is more demoralizing than pinning them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he
you plays can always mind get games. Caught on your back and pinned. You
he
never
plays the
like,
mind
game
so well.
Yeah.
He plays it so fucking well. And it's just like, oh my god, like, dude, like I'm still in shock. But I watched the match. Gable taunted the fuck out of him, dude.
Yeah, I thought he would like, at least take Paris seriously.
He took him seriously at the beginning, if you watch the match, you know? And after he started scoring, I was like, oh, you can't score on me. He's like, he essentially said, you're my bitch. That's essentially what he said. You know?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, like, at least, I thought it was going to be a decision. I'll say, I thought it was going to be, like, 3 or 4 points. I thought Paris scoring a takedown was inevitable, but apparently I'm wrong. Apparently 99% of people were wrong about this match.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody believed that Gable was that much higher on a level than Paris.
Yeah.
It's all going to come down to if does this translate to freestyle. I think we can assume Gable's going to be the national champ, right? Does this translate to freestyle, though?
I mean, the freestyle is probably Gable's
who's
best
the man,
style.
Who's the man to beat? Gwizdowski.
Gwiz.
You know?
Gable beat Gwiz at the RTC Cup. Didn't he?
Yeah, 4-1. Gwiz had Gwiz had a debatable 4-point move though.
Hmm. Oh, that is true. Yeah.
And then one of them was a bad shot by Gwiz. Gwiz is a guy who's not going to fall into all Gable's tricks. You know, he's a smart wrestler. I think Gable beats him, right? But the 1 day Olympic trials qualifier becomes a question.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say this every time, like it should be a question, right? But then it just never is because of the shit he does. You're like, okay, Gable got a bye. You're like, Gable's fresh. Paris, I don't think gassing is going to be a problem. It wasn't, right? Paris kind of looked tired. But Paris is a guy who's going to keep attacking no matter what. It comes down to a question is, where does Gable fall with Taha going Gino Petrushvili?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there's 4 Olympic medals at that weight class. There's a gold,
I mean, again, like
silver,
what you said, Gable struggles with tall dudes. And Taha is what, like 6'2"?
Yeah. Nothing crazy. But they're, it's like the international feel is so much different. That's why you see guys just like Zane really never converted on that. Yanni does so well.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know how Lee is going to do in the international field. If Gable brings home a gold medal, it could be talked about. If he wrestles his entire career, can he be better than. Say, who's the best wrestler out there right now? Sajulayev?
He is not surpassing Sajulayev.
I said currently, not all the time. It's possible. I will say that. But for that to go down, Cox would need
at that point, Sajulayev might bump up to 125 to wrestle him to cement his legacy. I mean, that's what he did initially. What? He bumped up to wrestle Snyder specifically.
I think he just couldn't hold the weight. That's what it's going to look like. I have no doubt that if Sajulayev bumped up to 125, he could win. Gable becomes the question. You know, who's the best wrestler out there right now? Mihan Lopez. That's not up for debate, right?
You know, all-time career stuff. Regardless of style, yeah.
Yep. And then Sajulayev is the best wrestler out there currently.
Yeah.
I'm taking Gable over Snyder, though. I don't think that should be a debate.
Gable over Snyder, like, say that like credentially or like say they're the same size and they wrestle a match.
Well, obviously not same size because Snyder wasn't the same size as anybody. He wrestled
heavyweight.
Now, I'd take Gwizdowski over Snyder. I think it would be close, but I think I'd take Gwizdowski over Snyder 9 out of 10 times, and I would have done that back when their national final occurred. That's just me though. You know, Snyder over Kuhn, I think 7 out of 10 times Snyder wins that match. You know, Snyder was also coming back.
Gable and Snyder.
I don't want to technical analysis.
They wrestled very similarly.
I have Gable by tech.
Ridiculously heavy hands.
I have Gable by tech fall in freestyle. I don't see it being close in freestyle, no. Gable's too big, too strong, and too fast for him. That's just, you know, and that's exactly what happened with Gabe Dean versus Kyle Snyder right there. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I will 100% stand on that until I see otherwise. If Snyder, I don't think Snyder would be opposed to taking that match if it happened, like after the Olympic trials. I don't think there's any reason to do it now.
Yeah.
The way Snyder wrestled against Nate Jackson, and the way Jayden Cox wrestled against Nate Jackson, you know, Nate Jackson's good, right? But
yeah,
they underwhelmed me. I don't think either of them are going to come close to beating Sajulayev. I wouldn't be surprised if Sajulayev texts both of them. Like, I really wouldn't at this point. that because people like he's improved on the field as he's went. Snyder's had some bumps across the road, right?
Jaden's got like he's developed his parterre defense, which I mean is obviously going to be key against Saguliev, but
it's like Saguliev is like a Michael Kemmerer when he gets on shot. He's going to finish.
Yeah.
But Kemmerer, oh my God. Against Storaci. Wow. Like, what did he do? Actually, he hit like a 7-1.
Fuck.
Yeah, like, it was impressive. I mean, yeah, he caught 2 back points, luckily, but.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think it was too out of hand where Storaci couldn't make a different match. But Storaci also. Him going into overtime in pretty much every match didn't really do any, his muscles, soreness, any favor there. But, you know, he's a freshman. He's a tough motherfucker. Like that's all you can say about
him. Yeah.
Venz put up a solid match against Brooks, too, right there. But I think, in my opinion, if Deacon wrestled a full season, he'd be third in contention for Hodge. That's just me. Hmm. He almost pinned to Kendall Coleman with his legs, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know about that. Big upset went down, dude. Chase Soldate beat Kendall Coleman.
Yeah, over Ken. Yeah.
And final second takedown. It was decided in overtime last time. After they finished, Kendall Coleman shoved his face into the ground. Not to the back of the head, like to the actual face.
Yeah.
That's revenge. You know, I always use the song Revenge by Joyner Lucas on my stories when you see something like that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else even to be said now? Like,
Will
this dude become the next, like a freestyle Karelin? Like, I don't see any reason why it's not possible at this point. The only difference is Karelin has established his dominance. Those two losses are already more than Karelin's had.
Yeah.
That one loss can pin the worlds, but I think that's going to hurt him. You know, Saguliev's already lost more times than Karelin. The thing about Karelin's dominance, again, we've said, is longevity, right? Yeah. And that's why Lopez is going to get hurt because he didn't get a medal at 2004 in Athens.
Yeah.
We were 4 years away from seeing a match between them two. You know, and that's the same thing I said when the Bucks and the Chiefs played each other. It's like, you know, Tom Brady just showing him who's the real king before he leaves. That's essentially what it was.
Yeah.
You know, is there a chance that Gable doesn't win nationals? Let's be honest. Dude,
it's a snowball's chance in hell. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
it's like Jason Nolf majored Tyler Berger 12-4. Exactly, actually. And he almost lost in the national
semifinals. Not even really that, because, I mean, at least Heidley, like, gave Nolf a match at some point. Like,
no,
I mean, that was controversial.
And he beat Berger 12-4 in the Big Ten finals. Yeah. Who is Gable going to see in the semis? Kirk Fleet. You know, this is probably going to age so bad, but if it does age good, I can clip this, like, entire thing and just post it.
Yeah.
Be, like, an absolute fucking genius, bro. Like, it'd be fun. Yeah, but that being said, like, any other things we need to talk about, like, wow, like, dude, like that gave me chills. Like,
yeah.
Like, everybody's like, Mason Paris coming after Gable. Mason Paris is man-possessed. Gable shut that shit down immediately.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, not really.
All right. So that being said, you know, it's been a fun episode today. Great 2 days of wrestling. And, you know, we'll be back for the Nationals. That's when champions are made, you know? And I think the funner matches that I really want to look at is like, obviously Gable and guys are going to cruise their way through a tournament. How are guys like Hilger, Stencil, Jordan Wooden going to do? That's what I want to see. With that being said, this has been episode 56 of Late Night Shots. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you guys again next time.